Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. My name is Mike Brown. Welcome to part 6 of 9 of The Dream Shakes, The Dream Takes NBA Draft 2022 Prospect Breakdown. We have 5 incredible prospects to take a look at tonight. Very excited to break down these 5 guys, because I honestly feel like all 5 of these players are going to be in contention for the Rockets at some point in the 2022 draft, whether it be not necessarily at number 3, but potentially very in play at number 17. If they pick up another draft pick in the first round, they could take a strong look at one of these 5 guys. But I am here to talk Rockets basketball with all of you. If you're tuning in here live on Spotify Green Room and you want to talk any one of these 5 prospects, hit that request to speak button. I will bring you up on stage. Give me your thoughts and we'll break it down here in H-Town. Without further ado, very crazy. We are 9 days away from the NBA draft. We're recording this on Tuesday. It is next Thursday. So excited. Cannot wait. So let's get straight into it. First guy we're going to talk about tonight. Again, we have 5 prospects to take a look at tonight. So we'll spend a decent amount of time on each guy, but not too long. Again, if you'd like to talk any of these prospects, hit that request to speak button. I'll bring you up here on stage and we will get right to it. So first guy I want to take a look at, EJ Liddell out of the Ohio State University. Now, EJ Liddell, interesting guy, 6'7", 240. He's a junior, so he's a little bit older, which I like, especially bringing as many rookies as the Rockets did into their system last year. They're going to pick up another guy at 3. They could use a little bit of veteran presence, if you will. Again, a guy like EJ Liddell will be a rookie, but he's an older rookie. He's already a junior, so he's 21 years old. Now, in the 3 years that he played at Ohio State, his numbers trended in the right direction, which you love to see. 1920, he was at 6.7 points per game, only averaging 16 minutes per game. 2020, 2021, ballooned to 16 points per game in 29 minutes per game. And then this past season, he went up to 33 minutes per game and averaged 19.5 points per game and 8 rebounds. So for a guy who's 6'7", averaging 8 rebounds, you love to see that. He was a 37% three-point shooter, which you love to see that as well. EJ Liddell, tonight we're going to look at NBADraftRoom.com. So I appreciate NBA Draft Room and all of their insight, great website to take a look at. They mock EJ Liddell going 22 to the Memphis Grizzlies. They say a versatile talent who can play the 4 or small ball 5, fundamentally sound and efficient, would be a great fit on a win now team. Now, a guy like that, you may look at and you may say to yourself, the Rockets aren't ready for that type of guy. You also look at a guy like Liddell at 6'7". Let's use the example of Paolo Banchero, who's 6'10". If you bring in a guy like Liddell at 6'7", people will look at that as potentially a repetitive pick. I'm sort of there with him, but I also am a big fan of NBA Draft Room, because at number 3, they have the Rockets taking Jaden Ivey over Paolo Banchero. However, I've been on that train for a while now. That would be the right pick in my eyes. So let's just use their mock draft as a platform for this conversation. If the Rockets came out of this draft with a guy like Liddell at 17 and Jaden Ivey, that's an A draft in my book. I like Liddell a lot because of what we just laid out. I like the fact that he shot 37% from 3. I like the fact that he averaged 19 points on a team in the Big Ten. The Big Ten played some really good basketball last year, comparative to a guy who comes out of a school like Loyola, or a small, a St. Mary's, if you will. Again, they play decent competition, but not like the Big Ten. I like EJ Liddell a lot. Every mock has him going somewhere between 17 and 25. I haven't seen anybody mock Liddell to the Rockets at 17. I think the Rockets are going to have better options at 17 than EJ Liddell. EJ Liddell, for me, would be a prime target if the Rockets were to move back from 17, pick up a player, pick up maybe some future draft capital if they move to from 17, let's say down to a 19 or a 20, potentially down to 21 or 22. EJ Liddell, prime draft target for me, gives the Rockets something that they certainly do not have right now, which would be moderate to elite wing play. We'll bring in Lewis Brown from Sugarland to talk Rockets prospects tonight. Pops, what's going down? Hit that unmute button.
Great show as usual.
Thank you.
As you can see, I'm still far advanced in technology.
Facts.
And if you've gone over this already, I apologize. I just tuned in. I got a question.
Yes.
We take whoever at three, Ivy or Banchero. Let me ask you a question. If who would they be drooling over if they took Eric Gordon and the 17th pick to, say, move up a couple of spots? Who would that player be, maybe in your opinion, that would make them want to jump up three or four spaces?
Well, there's news today that the New York Knicks are looking to move down from the 11th spot. So based on your question, I would assume the Rockets would be looking, let's just say in this scenario, to move to 11. It's a great question. In my opinion, it all depends on what they do at three, right? And most people have them taking Banchero. I'm going to be the odd duck out on the pond. I think they're taking Jaden Ivey from Purdue. That's my opinion. I don't like the fit of Paolo Banchero as a Rocket. A, because he doesn't solve any problems that the Rockets currently have. The Rockets have a guy like a Paolo Banchero who is Christian Wood. Paolo Banchero is 6'10", so is Christian Wood. Christian Wood, I think, is 235. Banchero is 250. Both guys can't defend the rim. Both guys are decent rebounders. They're not great rebounders, and they don't defend the rim. Give me a reason outside of he's one of the three or four best players in the draft that you would want Paolo Banchero as a Rocket.
Well, let me ask you a question. I think Ivy and Green backcourt would just be crazy good. But let me ask you a question. Is a guy like a Mark Williams worth jumping up to 11 for?
Yes. In my opinion, yes. I think the dark horse in this conversation, and he's the target. We're going to talk about a guy that I really like, you know, in a few minutes. Can the Rockets get in on a DeAndre Ayton conversation? Because if they can get in on a DeAndre Ayton conversation, then all of this is – all of the conversation of their draft completely turns. Because all of a sudden, you don't need a Mark Williams if you get a DeAndre Ayton. Let's say you're able to get a DeAndre Ayton and keep the third pick, which I'm assuming you would. Can you imagine this team if they pull off a DeAndre Ayton and Jaden Ivey haul with 3 and 17?
Well, I think if you somehow got Ayton, and I'm thinking of, in order to keep the third, I'm thinking of you're probably going to have to give up probably Wood and Gordon.
Bye. Goodbye.
And
yeah, you do that deal.
Probably either the 17th or a couple of future first, whether it's Brooklyn, whether it's Milwaukee's.
But that's good. That's gonna show where the Rockets' mindset is, right? With can they, you know, going back to EJ Liddell. EJ Liddell would be an example of if you're moving the 17th pick in a trade package, let's just say for a DeAndre Ayton, and they can buy back into the first round and still end up with two guys in the first round, one being at three, let's say one being at 22, and that type of guy would be an EJ Liddell. To answer your original question, if they move up to 11, let's just say for a big man, let's say they do take Ivy at three, the two targets, in my opinion, would be Jalen Duran, Memphis, or Mark Williams, Duke. Those are the two guys that I would move up for. There's nobody else that I look at and I say, oh my God, they have to get that guy. Potentially, you could look at a small forward like an Adrian Griffin from Duke, who we talked about on the last show. Another good wing. He's got some health problems, but he's a hell of a shooter. He shot 42% from the three-point line. That's a guy that you could look at. Those three names pop out to me at 11, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for sure. My man, appreciate you listening.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
See, that's great banter. It's why I love doing this show. This is a great show. Okay, so let's get back to our prospect breakdown for tonight. We talked EJ Liddell, Ohio State. Let's keep it with the Ohio State talk. Let's move to another Ohio State Buckeye, Malachi Branham. Now, he's 6'5", 180. This is a guy, again, we're going to give some love over here to NBADraftRoom.com. They have him mocked to 14 going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. When you break down Malachi Branham, he was a freshman this past year, 6'5", 180. He averaged 13.7 points this past season. He averaged 3.5 rebounds. He shot another ridiculous percentage from the three-point line, 41.6%. NBA Draft Rooms talks about talented shot maker next to Garland. Branham is getting lottery buzz and has looked good during the pre-draft process. Jeremy and I talked about this in our show this past weekend, that this draft is littered with guys like Malachi Branham. A bunch of guys, like you look at him, you look at another guy we're going to talk about in a minute, Johnny Davis from Wisconsin. I'm a lot higher on Davis than I am Branham, but there's so many guys that are 6'4 to 6'7, you know, 180 to the 205, 210 range, lanky guys that are going to be able to make their name as 3-and-D guys at the next level. For me, Branham doesn't do a great job getting his own shot. I think he's decent. I don't think he's great at that skill, but he's a 3-and-D guy. You can plug and play, ready to play NBA ball from day one. He's not a guy that you're going to stick in the G League. I mean, he is ready to go day one. Shot maker, give him the ball on the three-point line and see what he can do with it. Now, Jeremy made a good point on our last show that I want to touch on real quick. Just because the Rockets have guys that fit that type of mold. You know, Malachi Branham, if you bring him in, he would be repetitious for me to a Josh Christopher, right? Do the Rockets need Branham? No. Could they use him? Well, yeah, he's a talented prospect. If you bring a guy like Branham or Liddell in, they're immediately going to take away minutes from Christopher. The Rockets have to weigh that option of, at 17, if those types of guys are the best players available, they still need to draft them. And competition is going to be good for a guy like Josh Christopher. The last thing you want is for a guy like Christopher to come in next season and feel like he has any sort of job won. Same thing with Şengün. Same thing with Garuba. The more talent the Rockets can put in that locker room, let the young guys play, let them fight it out, literally if you have to, and see what you can come out of this NBA draft with. All right, so we talked Malachi Branham. Let's get to the three blue chip prospects of the night that we're going to spend a decent amount of time talking about. Now, third guy that I just mentioned, one Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin. Now, I saw Johnny Davis play one game this year. Johnny Davis was he? He's a sophomore at Wisconsin. His team defeated my Houston Cougars early in the year. I really liked what I saw from Johnny Davis. He's a fiery, competitive dude. He's a guy that will come in and he will punch you in the mouth if he has to. He will get in your grill. He will do the dirty work. NBA Draft Room compares Johnny Davis to Manu Ginobili. As much as that would hurt to add to this team, I feel like he would be exactly what you're – he's the prototypical 3-and-D guy. And we used that topic – or that phrase, I should say, a couple of times tonight. Not going to apologize for it because the first three guys bring that element to a certain extent. I think Liddell and Branham are decent, I would say, on the defensive end. I would give them no better than a C-plus average. But in today's NBA, if you're bringing C-plus effort and results, most teams will be okay with that. Johnny Davis is not a C-plus type of defender. I mean, he will get after you defensively. Offensively, you know, he's got some skills, right? You look at last year, he averaged 19.7 points per game. He averaged 8.2 rebounds a game, averaged a couple of assists on a pretty good Wisconsin team. Now, the thing that scares me about a guy like Johnny Davis is that he was the best player in what I would call a mediocre Wisconsin team. That Wisconsin team was not great. When a player averages the types of numbers that he did, that team relied on him so much that what's going to happen when he comes to the NBA? Let's say the Rockets take him at 17. Do I think he'll be there at 17? No, I don't. But let's say that he is there because so many different things can happen on draft night that if the Rockets end up with Davis at 17, it's a steal. Every mock draft that you look at, CBS Sports, SI, NBA Draft Room, all of them have Johnny Davis going prior to 17. So if the Rockets are at 17 and he's there and they hold on to that pick, you take Johnny Davis and you say, thank you very much. I will take another. What's going to happen when he's not the first option? You know, let's just say that the Rockets roster is the same that it is right now. And let's say you add, you know, let's just say Boncaro and Davis at 3 and 17. Let's just say you add those two guys to this roster. All of a sudden, Johnny Davis at best is going to be your fourth or fifth best option. What does that do to him on the offensive end of the floor? It's going to limit his ability to impact the game. He's going to have to become a better three-point shooter. His numbers from 2021 at nearly 39% from three dipped to 31% this past year at Wisconsin. You don't like seeing that trend going from 39 to 31%. He's going to have to become a better three-point shooter. He does a really good job at getting to the rim whenever he wants. Johnny Davis, for me, if the Rockets want him, I mean, Pops asked about what type of guy the Rockets could look to acquire if they're moving up. Johnny Davis is a name to watch if the Rockets are moving up. It depends on how far they're moving up. I think if they move, let's just say, from 17 to 14, that's the Cavaliers pick. That could be a move where if Davis is there at 14 and they don't want to take the chance of losing, you know, because I think if he's there at 14, there's no guarantee that he's going to make it past Charlotte at 15 or the Hawks at 16. The Hawks could definitely be looking to acquire some defensive talent on the wing. So if the Rockets make that move from 17 to 14, it wouldn't cost them all that much. And if Johnny Davis, Wisconsin, is there on the board, I would certainly do what I could to acquire Johnny Davis if at all possible. So, talk Johnny Davis. We have two more prospects to talk about. Really excited about these two names left. Let's talk Jalen Duran from Memphis. Now, Jalen Duran is a top 10 talent. Let's get that out of the way. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Duran. What's his ceiling? What type of guy is he going to be in the league? Last show, we talked about Mark Williams Duke, who I'm a big fan of. Think if you're thinking Jalen Durant, think Mark Williams with an offense, a better offensive skill set, and he's a better rebounder. I mean, Jalen Durant is flat out scary good. Okay, he was a freshman. He's 6'11", 250. NBA draft room compares him to Dwight Howard. They're right up on him. Durant is a big-time talent who has a ton of untapped potential. Centers don't have as much value these days, but it will be hard for teams in the mid-lottery to pass on him. This is a guy that if the Rockets could find a way, Jeremy and I talked about this on the last show, but I'll reiterate it now in case you didn't listen to the last show. If the Rockets could figure out a way to finagle the number 7 pick from Portland in a trade package centered around a Christian Wood and potentially adding in Eric Gordon, the Rockets could take back some bad salary. I would take back bad salary if it meant Gordon and Wood getting to Portland and the Rockets acquiring the number 7 pick. I would literally drool over the idea of ending up with Jaden Ivey at 3 and Jalen Durant at 7. He's exactly what this team needs. How many games last year, the year before, where Rockets fans are put through the pain and anguish of watching this roster play without a rim protector? The front office has done this roster such a disservice by putting together a team that literally did not have a rim protector. Like, I don't care if he was even a bad rim protector. Go out and get a guy like a Nerlens Noel. Get anybody to defend the rim, which they haven't done. If they're going to move up, in my eyes, the number one target to move up from 17, because I'm not moving down from 3. If the Rockets move down from 3, they're stupid. Flat out, they're stupid if they move out of 3. So I don't think they're going to. I give Raphael Stone more credit than that. I think he's done a decent job as general manager. My grade for him would be a C+. If he can end up with 3-7 in this draft, I'm all for it, and I would applaud the guy because I want nothing more than the Rockets to be a contender as soon as possible. Acquiring a guy like a Jalen Durant, I'm not going to call it a franchise-altering move, but it would show me and so many other Rockets fans that they're genuinely interested in making this team as good as possible as soon as possible. Because if they just stay at 17, they're going to end up with a pretty good player. The last target we're going to talk about tonight is a guy that I would say most Rockets fans are drooling over the idea of if they stay at 17. So Jalen Durant, think Dwight Howard, okay? Who's Dwight Howard, it wasn't portrayed enough in his time as a Rocket, but Dwight Howard has an underrated offensive skill set. Jalen Durant is the same way. At Memphis, he averaged 12 points a game. He averaged 8 rebounds a game, 2 blocks. I think his rebounding numbers are a little low for my liking. But if you watched any Memphis basketball, which I'm sorry if you did, they didn't utilize him properly because they played him alongside multiple other bigs at the same time. I don't know why Penny Hardaway was doing that. But if he's the featured big man on a team, he's the type of guy that'll come in. He'll average his first year, I would say, 8 to 12 points, 7 to 10 rebounds his first year. Once he gets a feel for the league, those numbers are going to jump up. But Jalen Durant, for me, if they're going to move up from 17, which, again, I am on record saying the Rockets will not select at 17. Either they're going to move down, trade the pick on, you know, as a whole, or they're going to move up. If they're going to move up, a prime spot for me, if you're the Rockets, to get your hands on a guy like Jalen Durant is number 7 with Portland. Now, the last guy we're going to talk about tonight is a guy that we've talked about him before. We're going to talk about him in depth now. Let's talk Tari Eason from LSU. Now, Tari Eason mocked on NBA Draft Room to the Rockets at 17. Now, a couple weeks ago, there was a story about how Tari Eason has been connected to the Rockets. He had an in-depth conversation with the Rockets front office. He had good things to say about the front office, unlike those two doofballs who were saying that they hope Banchero does not end up with the Rockets for some stupid reason. I don't know who those clowns are, but I could care less. One of them looked like they live in their mother's basement, so I'm going to refrain from, you know, saying anything, you know, any more negative things about those two guys. It'll stop here. Now, here's the thing about Tari Eason, right? Last year at LSU, yeah, he's a sophomore, so he's coming out as a sophomore. He's not a freshman. His numbers did improve. 2021, he averaged 7.5 points a game, 6 rebounds. Last year, that 7.3 points went up to 17 points a game. Now, he's not a great three-point shooter. He did improve his three-point percentage from 24% to 36%. So, again, great to see the trajectory going up, not down on that three-point percentage. He's 6'8", good size. NBA draft room on Tari Eason describes him as a long, athletic, and versatile playmaker who can guard all over the court. Think OG Anunoby, who the Raptors have openly put on the trade market. Look, if the Rockets stay at 17, right? Let's say they don't move, they don't do anything in the draft, and they pick 3 and 17. If they come out of this draft with Tari Eason at 17, I love that pick because he gives the Rockets something that they don't have, I would say, good wing play, right? Think about the wings who were playing last year. KJ Martin Jr. I like KJ Martin Jr. Are the Rockets ready to make him the full-time starting small forward? If they're not, then they need to look to upgrade the position because then you have a logjam, right? If you draft Tari Eason, all of a sudden you have Garuba, KJ Martin, Jayshon Tate, Tari Eason. If you draft Paolo Banchero, you've got Banchero, you've got Wood, you've got Şengün. You have all of these guys that, in my opinion, that doesn't fit. They have to make moves to adjust to what either they have or what they're going to draft. That's why, again, I'm Team Ivy over Team Banchero, especially, right? If the Rockets can pick up Tari Eason at 17, he's a little bit shorter than Banchero, but he at least fits what this team needs more than what Banchero does. Banchero gives you star power, right? But you have star power at least right now. You have Jalen Green. There's nothing that says that Jaden Ivey can't be star power alongside Jalen Green. So you can hit it out of the park with him there. Tari Eason at 17 at least makes it plausible of, okay, plug and play. He's your starting, one of your two starting forwards. Then you let KJ and Jayshon Tate duke it out. One of those two guys is not going to start. You move them to the bench. You're making your bench now that much better. You're gaining good, solid depth with moves like that. Tari Eason should be, will be, is a target for the Rockets based on everything that I am reading, everything that I am seeing. So it's really exciting for the Rockets to be targeting that type of guy because they need that type of guy. So that concludes our talk for this evening. Very, very fun show. Thank you, Pops, for joining the show. Again, this is part 6 of 9 for the Dream Takes NBA Draft 2022 Prospect Breakdown. Jeremy and I will be live here on Spotify Live on Thursday for part number 7. Jeremy will be live this weekend for part number 8. We'll make sure we post those times. Our final Prospect Breakdown will be next Tuesday night, and obviously NBA draft a week from Thursday. We cannot wait. I will be live here on Spotify Live for on draft night. So make sure to come tune in here. Keep us live. We will be live through, I would say, a majority of the first round up until at least the Rockets make their second pick. So with all that being said, this has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. If you're on Twitter, make sure to head on over to at The Dream Take. Give us a follow. Make sure to follow the mothership of The Dream Take, The Dream Shake, at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow me on Twitter at BSW_MB. You can check out my co-pilot on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. If you're on Facebook, search The Dream Shake. Give us a like there. And finally, any day that ends in Y, head on over to thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets all the time. Until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!